how you feel about it, but I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 50 tonight. Amen. Some of you have, in fact, most everybody here has been with us the entire journey from Genesis chapter number 1 unto Genesis chapter number 50. Amen. Amen. It's been going on for quite a while, three or four years maybe. Oh my, lands of mercy. Well, I will tell you, I appreciate that we've made some progress. I've known Sunday school classes down south. We're going to study Revelations. Well, there's no such book in the Bible. Amen, that's right. Amen, yeah. Yeah, we're going to study Revelations, and we've been in Revelations chapter 1 for the last 4 months. What verse are you on? Number 3? Well, you've got to make a little progress. So we've gone 50 chapters. 50 chapters in the book of Genesis. That's pretty good. It's not bad. Amen. At least we didn't take one chapter, or we did it like in the time span that Genesis covers. I mean, we're talking a couple thousand years. So at least it didn't take that long, all right? But I want us to look at the last few verses. In fact, let me just go ahead and read. Let me go and start reading verse number 19. We're going to pick back up where we were at last time. And we've already covered these verses. We're not going to go back and do a full review. I promise you that. I promise that. So we'll take a little time and look at this tonight, and then we're going to finish reading the chapter tonight. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die. And God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Lord, I pray you'd bless us tonight, bless the word, and I pray, oh God, you'd help us this evening as we look in these final verses of this great book, and I pray that you would make it real to our hearts, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kind of bittersweet in some ways to approach the text here tonight because we have been in Genesis for so long. One of the reasons I like studying a book is because if we were going to continue on in the book of Genesis, then I know next Wednesday night I'm just picking up with the next verse. I don't have to wonder where I'm going. So there's actually a selfish reason per se, but greater than that reason, we're studying the Scripture line upon line, precept upon precept as God's put it together. And because we do it that way, it is very, very obvious that God's people learn better. That's the way that God has given to us. But I want us to look here tonight, and it just hit me tonight as I was reading this out loud. Verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, this is not in my notes, I'm just going to give this to you, shoot from the hip tonight. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die." You know, not everybody knows the time that they're going to die, but there are some people who do. Joseph, we can pretty well, when we're looking at this, would be on his deathbed, let's say. But you know, the first death in the Bible did not come expected. Came completely unexpectedly. Death is no respecter of persons. Death is playing by its own rules, whether it catches you on a bed or whether it catches you completely by surprise. You do not have a promise of tomorrow. Okay, you've heard preachers say that before, but I want you to stop a minute. You can be 10 years old, you can be 110 years old like Joseph here. And death could just come up on you like you had never expected. You've read in the news lately where, you know, because of how the police are being treated, that there are some who will go up to police officers, knock on the window, and then just shoot them while they're sitting in their car like a bunch of cowards, then turn around and run off. I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen. We live in a world where when we were at Shadeland last night, we stayed until way dark 30, and on the Citizen app, at the little school down there that's west of the church, there were about 10 gunshots fired according to the Citizens app. I'm not telling you anything that's not public record. Interesting, isn't it? Just interesting. We live in a dangerous world, so I just simply want to say this, that death, you have no idea when it's going to come, but it's coming. It is coming at some point in time. All right, now, that's why we're going to talk about the death of Joseph tonight. Now, the last time we were here, we looked at Joseph's words in verse number 19 and 20. And one of the things, Joseph's heart was tender even in every aspect. And I know that Joseph is a perfect type of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing is, nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, is he mentioned as a type of Jesus Christ. Nowhere. I mean, I would have included him in a few places, you know, Hebrews 11 and other places. I mean, I would have expounded on that. And I would have given a whole lot about Joseph. But the Lord didn't want us to have that. Perhaps he wanted us simply to study it on our own and find it without having to be pointed out to us. But here's the thing. Joseph's heart was kept tender. And I don't know about you, but I've found out in my own life that my heart tends to get hard and stay hard. Now, if you don't have a hard heart, God bless you. Some of you young folks, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But just think, some of us in here have a number of years on you. We've been through some of the ups and downs of life. Okay? We've been through some of the ups and downs of life. Okay? We have seen things. We've experienced things that, even though they're not of the same caliber as what Joseph had experienced, yet at the same time, we have allowed ourselves to be hardened by those life experiences. Okay? The challenge for us today, children of God, is to keep a tender heart. Because here's what's happened. When you harden yourself, here's what you do. You put up a wall between you and other people. I'm not going to be hurt. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're going to be hurt in a Christian life. Plain and simple, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt in life in general, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's a spouse, a co-worker, whoever. Somehow, someway, someone's going to say something, somebody's going to do something, somebody's going to do something that is going to cause you to have a hard heart. Okay? The great challenge is not to remain hardened. That's the great challenge. And if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll put up a wall where nobody else will be able to, what's the word I'm looking for here? Where no one will be able to touch us and help us. Okay? Nobody will. But I want to remind you that you've got to have an understanding that if you're not careful, you'll let your heart get so hard that you won't be able to hear God. Joseph didn't have that kind of heart. Isn't that a blessing? All right, so having said that, we look where he spake kindly. Literally, the phrase translated as speak kindly means that he spoke to their heart. Okay? So those, if you will, are kind of the last words of Joseph in his life in regarding his relationship with his brothers. And then, if you'll notice, He says that he's going to nourish his family and his little ones, his brothers and his family, so he's going to take care of them. Those are some wonderful words. But if we stop and look, and I'm indebted to one of the writers that I read a little bit after, who has said this, that the book of Genesis can be thought of, it's a book of beginnings, yes, but the book of Genesis can actually be thought of as a book of families. And I want you to just let that settle in. We have a lot of family affairs that are described in the book of Genesis. That's amazing if you stop and think about that. You think about the generations of Noah. You think of the generations that are listed in Genesis 5 where we have Adam, Seth, Enos, all the way down to Noah and the flood. And then we come into Abraham. Then we come into Isaac. We come to, and we see some family dynamics here. It's a book of families. And I will say this. The book of Genesis is not a family manual. It's not a manual that you're going to use to teach, you know, from Genesis 1 all the way to Genesis 50, how to raise a family. But I will tell you this, there is enough in the book of Genesis to fill out a pretty good chapter. If we were to tease out a lot of those life lessons we could talk about, okay? Think about this, Isaac and Rebekah had his and her children. Mom and Dad, watch me, look at me, you ready? Mom and Dad, you are married. See that? You're married. Your wife, your husband is more important than your children. That's terrible, preacher. You shouldn't say that. No, I'm telling you that for a reason. Because what will happen is, if the parents don't like it, here's what they're going to do. They're going to come up, and they're going to say, Mommy, 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 can I have such and such? And she'll say no. And then they're going to run into Daddy out in the garage. Daddy, 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 can I have this over here? And then Daddy's going to say, yes, you can have it. Well, Dad didn't communicate with Mom because the child has learned to play, and that's you're going to figure out your children will learn to play you. They'll play you like a guitar, like a fiddle, like a piano. I mean, they will play if you're not careful.
Amen.
Amen. Now, my children haven't done that. Okay. Amen. Amen. Miss Sheila, cats are a lot less maintenance than children. So I'm just leaving it there. All right. Amen sometimes. All right. But all joking aside, you've got to be careful because what children will do is they will play you one against the other. And here's what they'll do. If they get to where Dad and Mom, I said no. Well, I said yes. I'm the head of the family. True. But I told them first. That's true. Here's what's happened. Y'all are doing that number right there while the kid doesn't, he don't even, you ain't even paying any attention. They're just going to the cookie jar, grab a cookie, and sit down and watch the show. You've got to make sure that you stand as a united front, if I can use that phrase, not against your children, but a united front as you operate and parent together, okay? David did not say this without cause, that you and I come out of the womb speaking lies. There's a preacher here a while back talked about that, and nobody made a remark or laughed or anything. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, brother, have you ever been woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning by a kid going, wah, screaming bloody murder, I'm dying, you ain't dying, you're just hungry, shut up. You're not dying. Hey, man. Your time's a-coming. It's a-coming. Amen. Times are coming. Amen. Amen. But here's the thing. There are lots of manuals. There are lots of lessons we could put into a parenting manual that we learn. And that's just one. That's just one issue we could look at. But if we were to take a look at Joseph, I want to consider just about four things of his life. Number one, he lived a long life. Number two, he relatively, if you'll let me say this, I believe we can look in the scripture and see this, he lived an enjoyable life. I'm going to get there. He lived an influential life, and then we're going to see how he lived a life of faith. Now, I know that's not alliterated, but hopefully you'll be able to follow me as we look here just briefly for that. First of all, Joseph lived a long life. Ain't nobody going to disagree that 110 years is a long time. That's a long time. 110 years. Now, more than likely, Joseph is about 56 years old when Jacob dies. And we can kind of tease this out a little bit. Let me just give it to you. In Genesis 41, 46, Joseph's 30 years old when he enters the service of Pharaoh. He's about 39 when he reveals himself to his brothers and arranges them to come down to Egypt. And, you know, because we have the 7 years of good crops, the 2 years of famine. His father lives in Egypt for 17 years. I know we discussed some of this a few weeks back. So Joseph is roughly 56 years old whenever his father dies. Now, it's interesting. You remember what Jacob says when he introduces himself to Pharaoh? You remember what he says about his life? You remember that? Jacob says to Pharaoh, few and evil. have been my days, the time of my sojourn and my pilgrimage, few and evil. Jacob, didn't you have some good days? Well, of course he had some good days. But Jacob had a lot of bad days. And I'm going to say this here. Sometimes folks have to have bad days so the next generation can have good days. I was talking to Miss Esther today, Miss Parton. She was born in 1937. My dad was born in December of 1929. And that was the generation that was raised, brought up during the Great Depression. And as you go back and look, some of those folks were raised so poor that they would think that if they were to come into the United States today, they would swear that we live smack dab in the middle of the millennium. We have so much technological advance. I heard a man say one time, his brother Milford Biddle, he said his dad plowed behind a single mule. He might have had a single row cultivator. Said if he'd have come back now and he'd seen these large machines that go out and fertilize and do all the stuff, he said, yeah, we are living in the middle of millennium. Jesus is reigning somewhere. Amen. That's what they would think. But that generation had it hard. They scraped. They saved. They did not live above their means. They saved and lived well below their means and gave the next generation a better start. And then here's what's happened. Look where we're at now. We have a bunch of entitled brats who think that they are owed everything in the world simply because they were born in America. It would do everyone a great wonder to be able to go to a third world country and live for a couple of weeks, see how the other half of the world lives. You don't have to have Nike tennis shoes. You don't have to have a video game system. You don't have to have a cell phone, because the only thing you're concerned about is getting by on that day's food. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't mean nothing to us right now, but it means a whole lot to other folks on the other side of the world, because that's the way they live. But I will say this, Jacob's days were few and evil. That was his estimation. Joseph's days, after he had come to power in Egypt, his days were great. His days were wonderful. Ain't nobody mess with his people. I mean, just imagine you're walking down the marketplace and people look at you and they say, man, there's one of those folks from Canaan. You ought to kill him. You don't want to mess with him. That's one of Joseph's family. Oh, we better not bother him. I mean, Joseph had some clout. So if we stop and think about Joseph's daddy, his days were few and evil. But I want to say this, Joseph, for over 70 years of his life, were wonderful days. The first 17 years of his life were raised at home. The next 13 years were a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of sadness. But the day that somebody came, opened up that cell door and said, Joseph, you're being summoned to the palace, and he had to shave. Amen. Listen, because the Egyptians shaved. Amen. That's worldly. Amen. So some of us aren't being worldly. We're going, that's all right. Don't worry. Y'all can smile a little bit. It's all right. Amen. But Joseph goes and his life immediately gets better. So number one, Joseph lives a long life. But I want to submit to you that Joseph does live an enjoyable life. The troubles and the trials came at the beginning of his life. No one's going to deny that. Let's stop a minute. So Joseph is torn away from his family, torn away from his home life, as it were. And he's forced to grow up a lot faster than many of our young folks today would be able to grow up. Stop thinking about that just for a second. We don't have to worry about, listen, we don't live in Nigeria. Boko Haram does not come into our villages, shoot our dads and village elders, and take the women and children off into slavery. Amen, that's right. Say, preacher, what would happen if the Muslims decided to do that? Well, it would be bad. It would be bad. I would feel really sad for somebody who tried that here. I really would. It'd be a bad day in the world for them, I promise you. But may I say to you, we don't live in that type of world, but that's the world that Joseph lived in, if you will. Slavery was an issue. Slavery was something that was common in everyday life. And listen, here's Joseph. He's torn away from his family, but God worked it all for good. Thank the Lord for that. We have the advantage of reading the entire story. So his growing up, if you will, from 17 onward was kind of sad. But I want to say this. Joseph was able to finish his life with his family. You know what parents want? Listen to me. Listen. Parents, now I want you young folks, listen to me for a minute. Parents are not interested in you buying things for them. Now, if you come up and say, you know, if one of my children makes a lot of money and they have a good job, I'm like, hey, Dad, I want to buy you like, you know, 3 or 4 ARs and 4 or 5 nines and, you know, several, you know, 308s. I'm not going to say no. I will take them and I will enjoy them. I promise you. I will enjoy them. All right. Amen. I will. But listen to me. Parents are not interested, children, in what you buy them. They're interested in your time. They're interested in you picking up the phone and calling them. Amen. David, your mom and dad are still alive. Miss Ashley, your mom and dad are still alive. You need to call them and talk to them. Now, I know you still see them here. But I'm not saying God's not going to call you away, but He may call you away somewhere. I mean, I'm not Lord of your life. I don't know what He's got for you. I can't tell you that. But I want to say this. You need to call them on a regular basis. Ethan and Isaac, I know Aaron can't understand. One of these days, you boys are going to be gone. You need to make sure you call your dad and mom, talk to them on a regular basis. Oh, I'll do that. No, you're going to forget it. Because we've all forgotten it. You need to do that. Your parents want to hear from you. Joseph, listen, he had a hard life starting out. But I want you to listen to me. Joseph was blessed at the end of his life to have his entire family, including his dad. Yes, he'd already buried his mom, but he had his father and his brothers around him. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. And you will not understand it until it's gone. You won't understand it. The first time we gathered around as a family and did, and I got up and I read out of the New Testament and read the Christmas story. The first time that we did that when my dad was gone, it was one of the hardest things we'd ever done. And then we had a brother, he died about 4 or 5 years ago. And whenever we got up and he was gone, it was different. Enjoy your family and be blessed. Joseph is blessed because he's got all of his family around him. And listen, we live in a day where we have such rugged individualism. People get a degree on the West Coast, get a job on the East Coast, and they will completely uproot their family. They'll travel all over the world and they'll forget about their family. But I want to remind you, God did not put you in the home you were raised at by accident. Every bit of that was done on purpose. It was done for your good. It was done for His glory. You say we don't have a perfect home. That's right, because ain't nobody got a perfect home. Amen. Nobody's home's perfect. Amen. Brother Kevin, listen, brother, we're the same age. Your boys are not nowhere near as old as my boys are. How many times can you count them? Would you think, man, I'd like to rewind and record over that and do that all over again? Oh, yes. Amen. And any parent who said they would not be willing to do that is being less than honest. We have made so many mistakes. But I want to say this for a young man who grew up and from age 17 to age 30, if you will, had a horrible time. And from age 17 till probably about age 39 or so, he had no family memories of Canaan. But now I want you to look, if you will, at verse 23. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. He saw Ephraim's children, his son, his grandson. Some people say it may even mean great-grandson. But if you look here at what happened with Manasseh, the oldest boy, you just see a son and a grandson. Completely and totally normal. What a blessing to see a son, a grandson, and I'm sorry, even you got some great grand younguns out there. What a blessing that is. God showed grace in Joseph's life for a man who had no family memories, but to build some family memories. I'm telling you, Joseph would have had a whole lot of family pictures in his Facebook page. If we just go back and read the hieroglyphics, we could find them all. Amen. But don't forget about that. Joseph lived an enjoyable life. I want to say this too. Joseph lived not only a long life, he not only lived an enjoyable life, but Joseph lived an influential life. Okay? His children were named as mile markers in his life. His first boy, Manasseh, means forgetting. Forgetting. God had made him to forget all the toil and all the heartache since he'd left his father's house. So he named Manasseh as a milestone. And every time Manasseh heard his name called, his name wasn't forgetful, it was forgetting. Every time Joseph saw that boy, every time Joseph called his name, he remembered what God had done for him. And then a little boy by the name of Ephraim is born. That little boy, his name is Fruitful. And here's what Joseph is seeing. Joseph is seeing that God had made him to forget all of his father's house, all the toil that he's gone through. Joseph is now seeing the fruitfulness of God's hand in his life. But that's not just for Joseph. That is for those boys. Daddy, why did you name me forgetting? Daddy, why did you name me fruitful? Does that remind you of, you say, preacher, they didn't ask that. Come on. I asked my dad why my name was my name. Did y'all, I mean, surely y'all were thinking, people. I mean, I'm from Tennessee. If we think down there, I know y'all think up here. Come on now. Amen. Could you imagine the explanation? In fact, it almost reads as if this culture is an inquisitive culture. Because when they're commanded to put the stones into the river, the stones on the land, then the Lord tells them, here's what you're going to say when your sons say, what mean these stones? Not if, but when. Dad, why are you doing that? Amen. Daddy, why do you do this? Daddy, why do you do that? I'm thinking of an ungodly country song right now where they ask a very similar question. And they talk about family traditions. Yeah. I'm going to say this to us tonight. If you are a first or a second generation Christian, you need to have some family traditions that are biblically based that honor and glorify God. Amen. You are the one who's breaking the chain. Amen. Now, I hear people talk about the Bible teaching generational curses. I have never been convinced of that. What I am convinced of is that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's not so much a family curse as it is just a family harvest that's being reaped. You may be the one to break that chain. You're going to be the first one maybe in your family who knows what a daddy and mom are like because y'all are married, okay? I'm going to simply say, let me say this, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being ugly, because we have people in this room tonight who have been touched by this, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being ugly, but I'm going to say this. For the love of heaven, make sure you moms and dads, you young folks, Ashley and David, I'm talking to you here, you make sure, and Brother John, Miss Maria, I know, I think y'all are young. Y'all are way young. I mean, y'all look young. I mean, y'all may have be older in age, but your miles, they ain't a whole, I mean, I know there's some mileage, don't get me wrong. Amen. Your 4x4 is kind of going up and down like this, brother. I get it. I know that. Amen. Brother, I mean, yeah, all right. I guess Sam will be preaching a funeral next week. Amen. You better be careful. Amen. Amen. Sleep with one eye open, son. That's all I can say, brother. But in all seriousness, I want to say this. I want to charge you in the name of Jesus Christ. You work out every problem that you have. You do what you can to make sure that your marriage works, because those children, and when God blesses y'all with children, they need to have a mom and daddy that are going to be there, that are going to be with them, that are going to love them, that are going to take care of them, they're going to answer their questions. They need that. They need it. They need it. They need that. Joseph was influential with his children. Watch this. His boys knew why they were named what they're named. You ready? Listen to me. His boys knew why they were named what they were named. Forgetting and fruitful. They knew why. And then one day, these strangers come to the house. Why do they speak a weird language? What is that? We don't speak Hebrew, we speak Egyptian. Why are all these Hebrew shepherds coming to our house? What's Dad doing? How does Dad know these people? And then later on, whenever Joseph says, "I am Joseph," and he reveals himself to his brethren, and now everybody, the secret's out, everybody knows that Joseph is really a Hebrew, and all of these folks here, his family, these boys, here's where you got to be careful. This is just a little bit of holy, I'm not saying speculation, but it's using a little bit of sanctified, how's the word I'm looking at this? Is it common sense maybe? People come to the house, I'm always thinking to myself, "Dad, who are these people? Why are these people here?" "Oh, they're your family from such and such." "Really? I don't like them." You know, type thing, you know, growing up. I know none of y'all ever dealt with that. Amen. But could you imagine Manasseh asking his dad, "Dad, why did you call me forgetting? Ephraim, Dad, why did you call me fruitful?" And then these strangers show up at the house. And it turns out these strangers, a few months later, actually, they're family. "You did what to my daddy? You did what? You did what to my dad?" But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to digress just for a second. It was a blessing that I was in Memphis, Tennessee back in 1989. I was there on kind of a time, me and a buddy of mine from high school. It was like a summer intensive, you know, thing where you kind of went and you learned all this different stuff. I was out in Memphis. Memphis is in Tennessee. Memphis ain't Tennessee. I'm just telling you, it ain't Tennessee. All right. Now listen to me. My dad was there at the barbecue doing his thing, and some folks next door at the business where we were had some folks come up and began to visibly vandalize the business. The man said some not so nice words to my dad. Now here's my dad. He's probably 89, 29, so you just kind of do the math here. He is 60 years old, probably not in the best shape, best of health, and this man says some not nice things to my dad. Just so happened that the guy who was next door, I don't remember if he was a Navy SEAL or not, but he come out, started rolling his sleeves up and started flexing muscles, and that fella said, "I might need to leave." And it was a good thing he left, or he probably would have died. Okay, I just know how this fella was. But here's the point I'm making. Had I been there, I wouldn't have cared if Rick had come over from the other restaurant or not. You talk that way to my dad, son, you're dealing with me. You're dealing with me. Yep. Amen. I'm not fooling around with that junk. I ain't fooling around with it. And listen to me. Here's Manasseh and here's Ephraim. Those men did what to my dad? They did what to him? And you know what Manasseh and Ephraim did? Joseph had influence in their life because they watched Joseph and how he treated his brothers. We have no idea how much we influence people. Let me go ahead and confess a fault to you. Can I confess you my faults? Can I confess a fault to you? I probably need to get a pilot's license. Because ain't nobody in the Lord's name knows how to drive in Tennessee. And most of the folks in Indiana, they don't know how to drive. It's the long, thin pedal on the right. That's what pushes your vehicle forward. Okay? Amen. The thing in the middle that turns them red lights on, that's not where your foot lives. Okay? And if we're going up a hill, look at me. So I just want to stop and talk to the semi-drivers. Watch me, semi-drivers. This is right. This is left. When the sign says trucks left lane, it's not that lane. The other left is what I want to tell them. And I'm telling you, I just cannot stand someone not showing just common courtesy. Can't stand it. One thing I can't stand is whenever you do something for somebody and there's no thank you. I jumped a kid's car off one time. This poor kid, bless his heart, he had the poles all messed up on his battery. I went over there, showed the boy how to do it. got his car started, and I went over and pulled the jumper cables off of his car, went over and pulled them on my car, and I turned around, and he was gone. I thought, oh boy, don't ask me to do it again, son. You're on the side. And if I see you on the side of the road with a flat tire, I'm going to wave at you as I drive by. If you cannot show common courtesy and say thank you, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Ingratitude is a mark of the last days. 1 Timothy 3, unthankful's in there. It's there. But here's where I drop the ball. I get upset and I get angry because I want to jerk those guys out of the cab of the truck and beat them up in Jesus' name. Now, I know none of y'all feel that way, so y'all pray for me. Okay, y'all pray for me. That's how I feel. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Brother, you can fix it before your youngins get old enough to see it. I've got to go back and do damage control because they've already seen it. So I'm sorry. Hannah and Sarah, and I know Charity's back yonder in the back. I'm sorry. It just makes me mad. Can't stand it. Can't stand that. I can't stand that. Joseph had good influence on his children. I want to have good influence on my children. I don't always have good influence on my children. Now here's the thing. You know what they're going to see, don't you? They're going to see the bad. They're not going to see the good. They're not going to see the good. Here's the thing. Ethan, Isaac, y'all remember the camping trips? Y'all remember times when you go out in the woods? You remember using knives and shooting guns? Y'all, that's the stuff y'all need to remember. Your dad ain't perfect. I know he's not perfect. I mean, I'm not joking at all. I know he's not perfect. He's an imperfect man.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know why? He's made out of imperfect material. You know sometimes why your dad's not perfect? Because he ain't got perfect children.
Hey.
So when you say, my dad is terrible, just remember you're half of who he is. I'm being serious, boys. I'm being serious. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Amen. It's true. It's absolutely true. Joseph was influential. His boys saw how he treated his brethren. Listen, I'll say this. His boys also saw how he reverenced his dad. You know, when I went and picked up those books today, some of y'all, I know y'all know Miss Esther, and I don't mind saying this publicly. I don't know exactly when her dad died, but she told me today, she said, my dad fought in Europe in World War II, and when he came home in 1945, she said, that Christmas we had in 1945 is one I will never forget. She was born in 37, so you do the math. And every time she has pointed at that picture of her dad, she said, there's my dad, there's my number one. I'm thinking, of course, I'm thinking to myself, sister, you were married, you know, twice. Your first husband died. You got remarried. I mean, I'm thinking your husband should be up there because you're supposed to leave father and mother, and I get all that. Someone says, well, preacher, it doesn't say the woman's leave her father and mother. Well, it says she's one flesh with her husband who's left father and mother, so you do the math. Yeah. I know sometimes we can get nostalgic and we forget about all the bad, but I'm saying this. Joseph's boys were able to see how Joseph treated his daddy. Young people, how about y'all be an example of how to treat your parents to other folks? Amen. So like, yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, all that still. I mean, I know y'all raised that way, and y'all have done that, and I appreciate that. That's very good. But I want to say this. I was taught that in a home that went to a Catholic church. That's not being godly. That's just being good. And just because you're good doesn't mean you're godly.
Amen.
I said yes, sir, to my dad, and there was times I had bad thoughts in my heart toward him and other people just because of what's on the inside of my heart. So Joseph was influential. So how can you and I make a greater difference? Let me just simply say this. We need to have a home, number one, that's guided by the Word of God and prayer. I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it publicly, but when church is not a priority, your children see that. And what one generation does in moderation, the next one will do in excess. So if church is optional, guess what your children are going to think? Church is optional. If church is optional to me, then my children will see it's not that important. And so when I tell people I have a deep and abiding faith, my kids are like, what are you talking about? I have a deep and abiding faith. Listen, my children know their dad likes some things. I like Westerns. Pray for me, I like Westerns. I like Randolph Scott, Audie Murphy, John Wayne. I like Westerns. If you don't like it, preacher, you ought not to have a TV. Good, give me yours. That way I can watch two different Westerns at the same time. Hey, man. I like outdoor stuff. I like guns and knives. I like to shoot animals. Amen. Watch them bleed, cut them open, and then eat them. I like doing that. Amen. Amen. None of us is perfect. None of us is. But if we guide our home by the Word of God and prayer, that will help us. Amen. And sometimes you've got to go to the book of Proverbs to guide your home by the Word of God and prayer. That just happens. That's right. Sometimes you do. Amen. Now, when he gets old enough to shout, pray for me, the service is over. We're calling the dogs off. I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. We need to be parents who are guided by the Word of God and prayer. We need to be parents, listen, who are involved in caring. Let's just put the biblical principles to action. We ought to guide our homes. We ought to guide our homes with that. Let's be involved. Let's be caring. There are times I have been so busy I don't have time to talk. And one of your children comes up and they ask you a question. What do you do? Now, there may be a time when you have to look and say, Dad's working on this, honey, and I'll get back with you in a minute. But there are times I have put things aside. When my boys were younger, my girls were younger, and even girls now, put things aside to be able to spend some time. We need to make sure that we invest in our children because, listen to me, the project that we're working on is not the most important thing. Our children are more important than that project we're working on. Amen. Amen. We need to be parents who do Bible devotions. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. There have been times we haven't done it until like 10 o'clock. And I know this is going to sound crazy, it sounds old, but Brother Eric, 10 o'clock, that's bedtime. Bedtime. So you're an old, call me old, I don't care. 10 o'clock's bedtime. I don't ever get there, but it's bedtime. Amen. We ought to do devotions. My children will come out with questions. We all read together. Charity reads. Sarah reads. Hannah reads. My wife and I, we all read together. We take turns reading a verse. If they don't know how to pronounce a word, we help them pronounce it and do it. That's one of the first time I remember Josh sitting in our living room down in Tennessee reading the word synagogue, and he was in kindergarten or first grade. He's like, dude, that's pretty good, not bad. How did he know that? Because we had been there before. Now, I'm not going to tell you we've done devotions every single night since then. Sometimes I drop the ball on that. And when my family was in Tennessee last year, we never even bothered to FaceTime it. It was just one of those deals where we just didn't do it. Shame on me. Amen. Right, but I'm encouraging us. Let's try to do that. Be part of a good church where the Word's taught and preached. We can encourage our children, and we as parents can encourage each other. Amen. Now, one thing, David and Ashley, I'm picking on y'all tonight. Y'all the poster children tonight. All right, I'm going to pick on you. Amen. Now, you're going to have struggles when you parent. You're going to have struggles. Sometimes your kids are going to make you want to pull your hair out. Miss Ashley, listen to me. There are going to be times when your child will act like their dad. And that probably should scare you. Okay. Now here's the thing. Be very careful you don't discipline him like you would like to let David have it when David gets on your nerves. I had a man one time when I was at a church asking me a question at a church meal. He said, Brother John, do you ever feel like you're harder on your children at home because you're not allowed to paddle the kids in the school you teach at? I had to start milking my chin because I thought, I ain't never thunk of that before. But that was a good question. Let's encourage one another. When people come along, they're going to try to give you advice. Be humble enough to take it. But don't be prideful enough to say, I don't need to hear what you have to say, because a lot of folks can help you out. And at the same time, you too have to decide what's right for your home. I can't decide what's right. I can tell you what that book says. Whether you put it into practice or not, that's your own responsibility. But we've got to be parents who try to instill in our children the biblical principles. Maybe you need to find out exactly, how do we do devotions? How do we get people to learn? Listen, I'm going to tell you, the way I do devotions now is not the way I did it whenever my children were Molly and Lynn's age. You know what we did? I may never march in the infantry or ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Now, see, we'd have done real guns if I'd have thought about it then. I mean, we'd have done all that. That's the way we did our devotions. You say that's silly. No, you're teaching your children the Word of God in song. You're teaching them it's okay to sing out loud. Hey, you're just teaching them it's okay to enjoy Jesus and sing and everything's wonderful. Amen. Show them how to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Give them some time. Make them have some memories. Amen. Let me say this, young folks, you ought to spend some time thinking about the Bible. Listen, we guys, we want to sit around, we want to show each other our knives or guns and all that other stuff, and that's going to happen. Amen. I enjoy sitting around with preachers. We'll show knives and guns. I got to see a gun from a preacher yesterday, and it was like, glory, hallelujah. I like it, a little too big for my hands, but that's okay. I enjoy it. I like those kind of things. That's guy stuff. Amen. But I'll tell you what's more important than discussing knives and guns is discussing the Scriptures. So young folks, you ought to be able to discuss the Scriptures. And you say, well, I really just don't enjoy discussing the Bible. If you claim to be saved, there's an issue there. It may be that you've fallen out of love with the Lord if you're saved. Something to think about. There are no perfect parents because we didn't have perfect parents and we don't have perfect children. But I just want to say this, we ought to strive to have a good foundation for our families. Let me finish up with this. Joseph, number one, lived a long life. He lived an enjoyable life. He lived an influential life. But I'll say this, Joseph lived a life and died in faith. He believed that one day God would call Israel out of Egypt, and he made reference to that. Now, if you look in verse number 24, we said this before, Joseph said to his brethren, I die. Now, Joseph had lived 93 years in Egypt. 93 years, almost a full century. Let me say this, though. If you live 93 years anywhere, the place where you live rubs off on you. Amen. Brother Freed is from the Bronx. He's a Jew from the Bronx. I mean, that's who he is. He's a Jew from the Bronx. But people hear him, and they'll say, hey, you're from down south. Brother, I can pick him out of any kind of lineup. I can tell you whether or not somebody's from up north. I can tell you. But they can pick out when somebody's from the south. You know why that is? Sometimes people move to an area, they begin to assimilate the culture, if you will. They begin to talk, okay? We'll tell you something, listen. The stuff that you put in your car, what do you change every 3,000 miles? The what? No, you change the oil. There's no I in there. Oil, O-L. But there is an I, it's oil. Now, would you like me to say the word oil all the time? That just sounds weird. Brother Eric, my tongue don't even work that way. I mean, it's just like it doesn't work. Just don't say that. Now, how in the world do you... Listen, Joseph spends almost a century in Egypt. He's picked up the language. Listen, he's assimilated part of the culture. He's got an Egyptian wife. His boys speak Egyptian. Listen to me. Joseph lived there. But I want to contend with you, even though Joseph's body was in Egypt, his heart said, don't bury me here. You take me back home. Bury me down there. Amen. You bury me down there. It's interesting that he did not put his culture over his religion. Joseph talked about his God. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it publicly. That's an example for every one of us. There are Christians who are Americans, Christians who are British, Christians who are Chinese, Christians who are Koreans, Christians who are Nigerians. There are Christians all over the place. But listen to me. Believers are believers first and they're patriotic to their land of birth second. When you put your religion above your state, your country, your patriotism above your Christianity, you have your priorities the wrong way. Amen. Well, preacher, I believe that a young woman ought to be able to volunteer for the military if she wants to. Well, sure she can. Look at me. Look at me in your God-given eyeball. Her heart is not right when she does it. That's good preaching, Pastor John. Amen, that's exactly right. That's good preaching. Because it's Bible. Amen, it's Bible. Amen, say amen right there. That's right. And I know some people disagree with it, and I'm not trying to be ugly. But we've got to remember that we're Bible believers first. And wherever else, some folks have driven their tent stakes way too deep. Way too deep. They have. Don't forget that you're a pilgrim and a stranger. Every gun that I have, every knife that I have, every car that I've ever driven, every tool that I've ever owned will one day pass away. And ultimately will be burned up when God sets this world on fire, according to the book of 2 Peter. It's going to go away. So what does it matter? Joseph was a man who knew his time was come. Watch this. I'm going to finish this up. He said, God is going to visit you 24, bring you out of this land of the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. I don't know exactly why he didn't say, do for me what we did for Dad years ago. I don't know why he didn't do that. But he just said, carry me out when God calls you out. And notice this. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. Ask Hannah about the embalming process she's been learning about in school. Don't be eating when you do it. Notice this, and he was put, watch this, in one of the pyramids of Egypt. It's not what it says. He's put in a coffin. A coffin is smaller and it's mobile. Joseph did not need one of the pyramids to have him travel over through the river of death to the other side, to the underworld, where all the Egyptian gods ruled and reigned and fought and all that other jazz. Put me in a coffin so that you can take me back home when you leave. And in Joshua 24 and verse number 32, the Bible says this, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried there in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Joseph was buried in his own land. He had faith that God was going to call him out. Now I want to say to you that as we close the book of Genesis tonight, let's be folks of faith. We're living in troubled times. We are living in troubled times. Our president does not know the exit sign from a stop sign. I'm telling you, he doesn't know it. He doesn't know beans from apple butter. Amen. I sent the boys a picture and it said, man, fish, eat, live, teach, day, Joe Biden was the name of the one. If you I'd show you the t-shirt. It's hilarious. It makes me just want to scream. We're living in a day that's uncertain. The Chinese and the Russians are doing joint military exercises. The United States has pulled out of Afghanistan. Should we go back in, they've already started to rub shoulders and buddy up to China. If the United States were to go back in, how do you think China would construe that? Because they're telling their people to prepare for war. Already they're getting closer and closer to Taiwanese air and sea space because they still believe Taiwan is part of mainland China, the People's Republic. We have mandates that are telling people, do this because the government says so. We have your best interest at heart. I'm sure that's exactly what the Jews thought when they got off the trains and they walked through the little gates. And I can't remember how it is in German, Brother Kevin, but it basically says, work will make you free. The government's moving you there for your own good. 6 million Jews died, regardless of what Steven Anderson said, 6 million Jews died at the hands of Hitler. All because the government knew what was best. We're living in troubled times. But I want you to listen to me. Listen to me. Heaven and earth will pass away. But this book right here will not pass away. Young people, if it goes against the Bible, it is not of God. If your feelings tell you to do something that's opposite and you have complete peace about it, and it goes against this Bible, that is a false peace. We do not go against the Word of God. And so tonight, as we close out Genesis, let's just remember that even the great Joseph died and was buried in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. Buried in a coffin in Egypt. But if I may borrow some words from John 11 to Joseph's children, Manasseh and Ephraim, thy father shall rise again. And they may say, well, I know that he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Now I just go ahead and tell them that Joseph's great, 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 great nephew, the Lord Jesus, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we'll stop right there. We'll take some time to take some prayer requests. We appreciate all of y'all who've been listening on Facebook. I know it's been lengthy. Man alive, I guess I preached about an hour. I did not mean to do that. I'm sorry. Lord have mercy. Help. Did I preach an hour, Brother Cole? Did I preach an hour? You can tell me. Brother Kevin said I did. Never mind. 57 minutes. Okay, I did not preach an hour. Now, if y'all want to go ahead and round, you young folks are doing rounding in school, you can round to an hour. Okay? Round down. Amen. All right, I appreciate it, brother.
Apparently he didn't learn round.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.